But Tiata Dishmaya, let's start our learning of what it is to have real emuna and bitahon and only Hashem. And so for all the new students that just joined us, as you know, that those that have been with us through other series, we always start the shiur with Mizmor Todah, thanking Hashem. Actually, Mizmor Todah, which is Psalms 100, is, they say, the only psalm that will be left after Mashiach. And even in our prayers, when we say it in Shacharit, it's encouraged for us to sing it with a melody, Mizmor LeTodah, to be thankful for everything that Hashem does for us, because He's always doing everything for us. There's nothing that He doesn't do. And so now let's, and I say it in English because it's important that we, when we daven and when we especially say Tehillim and when we talk to Hashem, we do it in a language that we understand, because that understanding is helps us open our heart and have and get us up the ladder faster and emunah and bitahon to Hashem. So by understanding what we're saying, it gives us that bitahon. So a psalm of thanksgiving, call out to Hashem, everyone on earth. Serve Hashem with gladness. Come before Him with joyous song. Know that Hashem, He is God. It is He who made us and we are His people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For Hashem is good, His kindness is eternal, and from generation to generation is His faithfulness. Baruch Hashem. So now, let's get started here. Now we're going to learn here and read the Pesicha. And we're going to make reference about this Pesicha throughout our entire journey of learning how to have emunah and bitahon, and just something for everyone to take note, for everyone. And I can't say this enough, because I just can't. Bitahon is something that you have to learn every single day. Bitahon is not something that if you think you got it, you didn't get it at all. Bitahon is an exercise that you have to exercise your emunah and bitahon muscle daily, because Hashem will test you. Everyone gets tested in these areas, and some people go through anxiety, some people go through stress, some people literally, you know, break down because they don't realize that everything is Hashem, and they don't realize that it's all a matter of just trusting and knowing that everything that Hashem does is good. And through these lessons, we're going to learn what that means. And so that it's important that we listen to them and we take note of them. And we ask questions. I have a lot of students reaching out to me, whether it's WhatsApp or email and so forth. Reach out to me if you have any questions. I'll be more than happy to clarify as best as Hashem will let me clarify with Siyata Dishmaya. So now let's continue here. We're going to talk about the Besicha to Shara Bitahon, and then we're going to move forward in our first lesson. Okay, so in Shara Bitahon, Chavos HaLevavos discusses the fundamental concept of bitahon in Hashem. That is, placing one's trust in Hashem and relying on His providential management of one's affair. The term bitahon is often translated as trust. However, bitahon means more than mere trust or fault or faith. It means reliance on Hashem, recognizing one's utter dependence upon Hashem and completely placing one's faith in Him so that one securely and confidently relies on Him to fulfill one's every need. And so, in fact, after studying these words of Avos HaLevavos and the Sha'ar, one realizes that there is no single English word that can fully capture the profound meaning of bitahon. So in this work that we're going to learn here, we're going to use both trust and reliance interchangeably as translations of bitahon, because these are the most convenient English terms, but in all cases, the reference is to a deep, profound level of trust and security that manifests itself in relying on Hashem completely in every aspect of life. David HaMelech expresses this concept in his verse in Tehillim, where he says, cast upon Hashem your burden and He will sustain you. So, faith or belief, right, and trust or reliance are closely related ideas. Emunah is conceptual, whereas bitahon is practical. So a person with emunah knows in his mind and believes in his heart that Hashem can provide for all his needs, but he doesn't necessarily, has applied that faith in actual practice. A person with bitahon, however, leads his life in accordance with the knowledge and belief that Hashem provides for him. So when facing a crisis, the person with true bitahon is not going to resort to desperate measures to save himself, nor will he take steps that are unbefitting for him. Rather, he's going to deal with the situation in a way that reflects his conviction that only Hashem can help him. And any measures he takes towards resolving the crisis will be consistent with that attitude. And the same applies with regard to the efforts that a person invests in obtaining your income. Hawos HaLevavos explains in this sha'ar, okay, that the person with bitahon will seek his income in ways that demonstrate his faith that he will ultimately receive no more and no less than what Hashem has ordained for him. And the Ramban, in addressing the relationship between emunah and bitahon, explains that bitahon is an outgrowth of emunah. Emunah, which is faith, is like a tree. Imagine a tree, right? And bitahon, which is reliance, is like the fruit that tree produces. So emunah, listen to this carefully because this is amazing. Emunah can exist without bitahon. Everyone can say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Everybody believes, right? Actions believe, these people, you know, these whatever, Amalekim believe, they believe they're going to, like, their life is here to go up to heaven and have 72 virgins. They believe, everybody believes everything. You, if you look on the internet or if you look around you, it's everyone's a believer of something. And it's so easy to believe in anything. Okay? But emunah, which is belief, right, can exist without bitahon. Everybody can believe, but doesn't mean they have bitahon. Okay? But bitahon cannot exist without emunah. In other words, you have to have a belief, a foundation, in order for you to have bitahon, because it's emunah that gives birth to bitahon. Do you understand? A fruit is not going to pop out of the ground by itself without a tree. You understand? I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to fall from the sky. Of course, anything can happen. But literally in this world right now, with Teva and the system of cause and effect that Hashem has in place, a fruit will grow on a tree. So you have to have a tree, and then you're going to get the fruit. The tree is our emunah. There's a foundation there. There's something that can bear its fruit. So recognizing and believing that Hashem controls all events enables one to actually rely on Him to fulfill one's needs, whether in moments of crisis or periods of tranquility, because you're always knowing that Hashem has everything under control, because Hashem knows exactly what He does, why He does, and it's like there's nothing that can ever be bad, because Hashem loves you. And because Hashem loves you and you're a precious gift and the whole world was created for you, then everything that Hashem does is only for your good. And so even something that appears to be not so good, what you think in our like little perspective of minds, is actually the best thing for us, because we don't know the whole backdrop story of everything that culminates to the point of whatever that you are experiencing. Do you understand? So basically, we get to know, when I say know, it's bitahon. Bitahon is knowing that everything is good. So there's no reason to have stress or anxiety. So now, let's get started here. This is the fourth great gateway of Hawos HaLevavos, which, by the way, we're also giving lessons on the entire, all 10 gates of Hawos HaLevavos. This here, Shara Bitahon, is the fourth gate, because it's all in order. It's all in order, in how we need to live our lives in this world. It's the gates are all in order in Hawos HaLevavos. This is the fourth gate. So this sha'ar focuses on the topic of reliance on Hashem, blessed be He, alone. And this chapter that we're learning from is the entrance, which is the introductory chapter to the sha'ar. So Hawos HaLevavos is now going to begin by explaining why he made Shara Bitahon the fourth sha'ar of this work. So now, says the author, which is Rabbeinu Bachaye, with Siyata Dishmaya, we're going to learn this. Says the author, since our previous discussion in the third sha'ar, which we didn't discuss in this lesson because this is part of Hawos HaLevavos entirety. In the third sha'ar, which is sha'ar Avodas HaElokim, was focused on the obligation to accept upon ourselves to faithfully carry out the service of Hashem. And he says, I saw fit to follow it with a discussion of the thing that is more vital than anything else to a servant of Hashem, blessed be He. And that is bitahon, reliance on Hashem in all of one's affairs. Bitahon is vital to every servant of Hashem because it provides major benefits in regard to Torah, which is spiritual matters, as well as in regard to worldly matters. Now, let's open this up here. As a note, Torah matters refers to one's obligation under the Torah and one's spiritual state. Worldly matters refers to one's involvement in this material world, such as in earning a livelihood and so forth. Okay, so now, Chavos HaLevavos proceeds to lay out in detail five spiritual benefits and five worldly benefits of Bitahon. So the following are among the benefits of Bitahon regarding Torah matters. So now we're going to learn that first. So the first spiritual benefit of Bitahon, which is the first of the benefits in regard to spiritual matters, is that one experiences peace of mind and reliance upon his God, blessed be he, in the way that a servant must rely on his master. And so, why? Because the first benefit of Bitahon is the state of mind that Bitahon entails, living with the secure recognition that one is completely in the hands of Hashem. The model for this is the servant's reliance on, like, on his master, right? The servant doesn't have the freedom to provide for himself and can't expect provisions from a third party or anybody else. So therefore, the servant is entirely dependent on his master to meet his needs, but he has no choice but to rely on him absolutely. So when a person feels entirely dependent upon Hashem in the way that a servant depends on his master, and the person leads his life based on this recognition, then he's living as a servant of Hashem. So that's the peace of mind here that he's talking about is experiencing. That he's experiencing is not merely a personal benefit of Bitahon, but it's a spiritual benefit because it defines his relationship with Hashem as that of a servant towards his master. And this is the appropriate relationship for one who has incorporated the elements of Avodas HaElokim, which is the service of Hashem, as we were talking about in the previous, the third Sha'ar. Okay, so now let's continue. So Chavos HaLevavos explains that this attitude of complete reliance upon Hashem is required of one who is truly his servant, because a true servant of Hashem must rely on him in every aspect. For if one does not place his entire trust in Hashem, he will inevitably place trust in someone or something other than Hashem. And by the way, this is the way of the world, that one cannot go through life without relying on something for survival and sustenance. So if one doesn't rely on Hashem then to be a provider, then obviously this person is relying on something or someone else. And that entity may be a human being or a false god or a person's own wisdom, right? Wealth, his own wealth or talents, as Chavos HaLevavos is going to start to explain to us here. Okay, so now, Okay, so we'll place trust in something or someone else other than Hashem. And as such, he is unlike a servant who has complete reliance on his master. And moreover, if someone places trust in any entity other than Hashem, listen to this, Hashem withdraws his providence from upon him and leaves the person in the hands of the one whom he placed his trust in. Do we get that? If a person places his trust on someone or something, then Hashem withdraws himself and then leaves you in the hands of whatever it is that you're relying on. So, haslacha with that, right? Imagine. So, because he loses the benefit of Hashem's protection and the serenity of relying on that protection. And since this person standing, as a servant of Hashem is linked to his reliance on Hashem, then the person diminishes that standing, so he's no longer in that position. And Chavos HaLevavos doesn't mean that Hashem completely removes his providence from anyone who fails to place complete trust in him alone. What he means is that Hashem removes his providence from a person to the extent that the person places his trust in something other than him. So one who has partial trust in Hashem will enjoy a degree of providence that is proportionate to his level of trust. And if one has no trust in Hashem at all, then he completely abandons that person to the one in whom he placed his trust in. Do you understand how scary that is? That's mamish scary, if you ask me. So, having caused himself to become dependent on someone other than Hashem, he will be like of those whom said in Yemiyah, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the source of living waters, to dig for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You understand? Because to forsake Hashem, the source of living waters, the source of all blessing, is an evil. To instead seek blessing from broken cisterns that cannot hold water, false gods that are impotent, is a double evil. And the same applies to one who places trust in Hashem with trust in a human being. Who replaces his trust in Hashem with a human being. A human being is ultimately also, he's also a broken cistern that cannot hold water, because he can't guarantee to meet one's needs. And even if he does come through with the immediate need, he can't hold it. Can't hold it in place and ensure his preservation. It's not in his hands. He doesn't have the power for that. Right? So, and it is similarly stated in Tehillim, they exchange their glory, their glory, for the likeness of a grass-eating ox. And by the way, this refers to the sin of the golden calf, in which the Jewish people exchanged their glory, their faith in Hashem, for faith in the likeness of an ox. Because a golden calf is called a grass-eating ox because an ox is most disgraceful while it eats grass. And so the verse here stresses the double sin of placing trust in Hashem with trust in an impotent, inglorious being. So thus, if one fails to place his trust in Hashem alone, only if one cannot place his trust solely only on Hashem, then the person becomes distant from Hashem. And moreover, the person becomes dependent on something that's unreliable. So now the preceding verses spell out the evil of trying to replace trust in Hashem with trust in some other entity. Halavos Ravos now cites additional verses which show that Hashem's providence provides special protection for those who place their trust in him, but it's removed from those who place their trust in others. So the verse also states in Yirmiyah, "Blessed is a man who trusts in Hashem, then Hashem will be his security." And it states in Tehillim, "Praiseworthy is a man who has made Hashem his trust and has not turned to the arrogant and to those who stray after falsehood." And it states regarding one who does turn to others, also in Yirmiyah, "Accursed is the man who trusts in people and makes flesh and blood his strength and turns his heart away from Hashem. He will be like a lone tree in the desert and will not see when goodness comes." And by contrast, with regard to the blessed man who trusts in Hashem, the passage states, "He will be like a tree planted near water. His foliage will always remain fresh. It will not worry in a year of drought, and it will never stop producing fruit." Wow, what a guarantee! Right? So having established that a person who places trust in a false God or a human becomes distant from Hashem, Avos HaLev Avos is now going to proceed to show that the same applies to one who places trust in his own prowess. Okay, so we're going to continue that part with Siyata Dishmaya in the next lesson. Okay, but I want to bring something out here. This is just placing, the person is placing trust and someone other than Hashem, by the way, because that's what we're talking about here. It's the spiritual, having the peace of mind, you know, like becoming like a servant is to the master. So while it's clear throughout Tanakh, right, that Hashem providentially controls, he controls the blessings and misfortunes that visit human beings, and he protects his servants from harm, it's also clear that not all people merit the same degree of divine protection. Okay, so among the many verses that make this point is we see in Shmuel, where he says, "He guards the step of his devout ones, but the wicked are still in darkness. For not through strength does man prevail." So that is that man does not succeed or fail based on his own strength or weakness, but rather based on his degree of devoutness, his closeness to Hashem, or distance from him. The closer a person is to Hashem, the greater the degree of divine protection and assistance that the person will merit. And in this regard, closeness is measured in terms of how much the person is focused on the presence of Hashem. One who is constantly focused on Hashem's presence is completely under his care at all times. And those who are less aware of his presence receive correspondingly lesser degrees of his protection. How do you like that? It's actually, if you ask me, it's pretty scary. I would not want to be in that situation. I'm going to give you an example because I like to add them, because I tell you, when I say to you that we all are going to get tested, because that's just how it is. We're all going to get tested, you know, in our life, especially in this area, because the first commandment of our Torah is that I am Hashem your God, which means what? It means that you must know that everything is me. It has because the face, there's so many faces to the Torah. But literally, it's I am Hashem your God, so Hashem is commanding you, Al Pi Torah, that you must rely only on Him. So, with that being said, anything outside of that, then it falls a lot short. So, we're in this world to learn how to be in the Vegas to Hashem and how to serve Hashem and how to be cleave to Him, right? And rely only on Him. And so, with that being said, is I'll give you an example. And by the way, we're all going to get tested. We will get tested every day in different ways with different things. You know, Hashem knows exactly what area is the most sensitive for you. Well, he'll catch your attention. And we're always going to gauge ourselves how much we're holding and how close we are up the ladder, going up that ladder of Bitahon. I ordered a case of wine, for example, for Shabbat, Pesach, and so forth. And it's my favorite wine. And so I look at the store and I wanted to get some bottles. They said, no, we just have run out. They're not going to make any more until they start doing the new harvest or whatever. And I said, no way. And so I'm saying, it's the only wine that I really, really like. And really, it's like the best for me. And so then I said, well, what can I do to, like, I would like to get some more. And I would like to have it, you know, for Shabbat, for the Hagim. And he said to me, let me see what I can do. And I said, I was talking to my friend and I was there. And I said to my friend, Hashem can do anything. Hashem can do anything. If Hashem wants that I should have wine, I'm going to have wine. And if Hashem doesn't want that I won't have wine, then I'm not going to have wine. And so then, and it was going to be the way that Hashem wanted it to be. That was in my mind already settled. So the man comes out with two bottles. We found these two bottles in the back, but we may be able to get a case or so, but it's going to take some time. I'll let you know if I can get it. I'll give you a call. Meanwhile, Baruch Hashem, I was happy that Hashem at least gave me two bottles. It was like he winked at me. I was so excited because I knew Hashem knew that that's my favorite wine and I wanted to enjoy it, you know, Oneg Shabbat. And so Baruch Hashem, the man calls me and tells me that he has a case. Baruch Hashem. So I thank Hashem, Mishmor LeTodah, because I'm always thanking Hashem, because you have to. Because not just for the good, you have to thank Hashem for everything, because what you think is bad is also good. So, and I'll tell you that why I'm saying that now also. Okay, so then Baruch Hashem, I get the case. He only sells the case, you know, so imagine, okay, the cost, what it could be. But it's all for Shabbat, so Hashem pays for that. So then I get the case, they deliver it to me, and when I open the box, I see it's the same winery, but it's a different wine. So I noticed, and I said, wait a minute, the wax on top of the, where it's covered, the cork, it's a lighter color than the one that I have. And I'm looking at it side by side, I go, it's not the same wine. So I call the man, and I tell him that my dilemma, and I tell him the story, and he says, no, it's all the same, it's, you know, whatever. And I go, are you sure? Because I see here three types of wine, and then, I mean, of grapes, and then the other one is like two instead of three. No, it's okay. And I said, okay, if you think it's okay, then okay, if it's all the same. Because I only like that particular wine. I really, really did. I only did. And so then, and I tried many, many, many others. Well, I'm telling you, I'm a wine connoisseur, and that wine was like, it was my sweet spot. And guess what? He said to me that, and I said, okay, you know what, Hashem? I don't know what's going to be. I don't know what's going to be, but this is the box that you sent to me. So it must be that this is the box that you want for me to have on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So it must be amazing, I said to myself. And I said, okay, dude, even though I was a little bit disappointed because it's not what I expected or wanted, I accepted it with love. I accepted it with love. And I said, okay, fine, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Because you know what? This little bit of suffering that I experienced is also with a lot of love, because it could have been something way worse, because Hashem always does for us things with a lot of mercy. And so then after a couple of days, the man calls me back and says, I found the box of the one that you want, and I'm going to exchange it for you. And I said to myself, I don't want to cause this vendor any grief or having to have him make another trip and have him be out. And I didn't want to do that. And I said, I was saying to myself, maybe I'm going to like the wine, because if Hashem put it in my hands, then that's what I should have. And so then the man insisted, no, that was not the wine that you ordered. I'm going to send you the wine that you ordered, and don't worry, just give me back that, and I will give this back to you, and I will give you the wine that you wanted. And I said, okay, then this is what you want, then I will, you know, not a problem. And then it hit me afterwards. And when they came, they gave me the box of the wine there. And I was like really happy. And I'm saying, look at that. That was also a test for me. It was a test to see how was I going to handle that situation. We're not talking about, you know, 100 shekel bottle of wine here. We're talking about a little bit more than, you know, whatever. And so it's kavod for Shabbat, kavod for the Hagim. And I'm saying to myself, it's not what I expected. I got something else. But then after I felt that tinge of sadness, because I did, because I really had my heart set on that specific wine, I accepted it because I said, it's what Hashem gave me. And so then when I accepted it, and I was even thinking to myself, even if I don't like the wine, I'm not going to go back to this vendor and cause him hardship, because I'm not going to do that. And that will bring down the mercy of Hashem into the world, because we're learning that also. With another lesson that we're learning in this group is also Tomer Devora, about Hashem's attributes. So I'm going to accept it. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to bother the vendor with hope that that mercy will come down to us in this world for Klal Yisrael, because we need all the merits and mercy that we can get with everything that's happening right now. And this is where my head was. And then the man calls me on his own, out of nowhere, insisting that he wanted to replace it. It's like Hashem saying to me, like, don't worry, you know, okay, fine. You know, I see how you took it with, you know, you took the, you know, the suffering with love. Baruch Hashem, okay, you even wanted to, you know, draw down an attribute of mine into the world, which, Baruch Hashem, okay, of course I still have more work to do, because I should have just accepted it with love from the beginning and not even gone into a state of being like a little bit upset, not upset, but like sad, because it wasn't what I wanted, and then I got the wine that I wanted anyway. So Hashem came through for me, and that was all a test. And this is what I'm trying to explain to you, lovely angels, my lovely Bas Yisrael. Hashem is always going to test you, and he knows exactly where to test you, exactly when to test you. And so imagine, so this can happen with anything in anyone's process of life. I can tell you, it can happen in business, it can happen in relationships, it can happen with friendships, it can happen with merchandise, it can happen in your home, it can happen with an apartment you're buying or renting, it can happen in any way. So we have to look that everything is from Hashem, and Hashem is going to test us. And guess what? How do you handle that test? You know, where are you holding? And there's no good or bad. There is no good or bad. It's just showing you where you're holding and where you are. You know, could I have done better? Yeah, I could have done better. I didn't have to go through that roller coaster, because I did go through the work with the roller coaster. It was all in my mind. I did feel it. I felt that sadness, you know, and then I'm justifying myself. No, I shouldn't do that. I should have just gone straight to just accepting everything and not even worrying it and not even making the phone call. Not even making the phone call to the wine place and saying, no, this is the wrong, you know, whatever. Maybe that's where I should have been holding. I don't know, but that's what I'm thinking. But it's all a test. And we have to always do cheshbon nefesh, like I'm doing to myself right now. And I'm sharing it with you, because we're all in this together. We're all learning. We're all one. Klal Yisrael is one. The more elevated we become, the more attached you become to your creator, the more in the vacus you become to Hashem, the more you rely upon Hashem, you lift all of Klal Yisrael with you. It's a very powerful thing to do. That's why I tell people, bring people into these lessons, add them to the groups, take as many lessons as you can. Baruch Hashem is giving you so many lessons. I think we're offering about 18 different lessons of his Torah in this woman's group, that you guys don't have time to even open up a sefer, because you're busy with life, you're busy with husbands, you're busy with children, and Hashem is giving it to you. So all you have to do is listen to them. Listen to the lessons. He's just spoon-feeding you with his Torah. And so the more elevated you become spiritually, it affects everything around you. Everything around you, you elevate yourself and you elevate Klal Yisrael. So with that being said, let's finish here with Psalms 91. Again, for those of you that just joined, I will tell you that Psalms 91 is a very powerful song, Psalm of Bitahon, and we always end our lessons of Bitahon with this amazing psalm, and hopefully you'll get to the point where you have it memorized. Okay, whoever sits in the refuge of the Most High, he shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Hashem, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. I will trust in him. I will trust in him, for he will deliver you from the ensnaring trap, from devastating pestilence. With his pinion, he will cover you, and beneath his wings, you will be protected. Shield and armor is his truth. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in gloom, nor the destroyer who lays waste at noon. And let 1,000 encamp at your side and a myriad at your right hand. But to you, it will not approach. You will merely peer with your eyes, and you will see the retribution of the wicked. Because you said, you, Hashem, are my refuge. You have made the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. He will charge his angels for you to protect you in all your ways. On palms they will carry you, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Upon the young lion and the viper you will tread. You will trample the lion and the serpent, for he has yearned for me, and I will deliver him. I will elevate him because he knows my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in distress. I will release him, and I will bring him honor. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen ve'amen.